Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 427. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing excellent, Kevin. How are you?
Yeah, I can't, I cannot argue with how things are going. You know, unless you want to talk about, as we usually do, a weird week of professional wrestling.
Indeed it was, Kevin. Where would you like to start?
Well, I was fine with SmackDown, and, you know, there's, one Ken Stater that I know draws your ire all the time.
I know he doesn't write this shit. I know. But I just can't stand Dolph Ziggler anymore. It's time to just let him go. He's been dressing the same, wrestling the same, talking the same, coming out to the same entrance music for so damn long now. There's just nothing left for him. He's never going to go. For reasons, some of which are the company's fault, some of which are his own fault, he's never going to be elevated all that high. It's just time to cut bait and let the guy just try to go the Cody Rhodes route and make something of himself independently. So I'm not sure. He has always, his entire career, been in the WWE type cocoon.
Right.
You know, he was recruited right out of college, and, you know, as a high-level amateur. I don't know if he has it in him to do to make the towns like a, you know, as an independent wrestler, but, you know, maybe he does, but there's just no way up in WWE.
Yeah, it really is something else. Like, I mean, I obviously really liked him for quite a while, but this stuff has just been silly, and the fact that the poor dumb announcers had to pretend like it was really The Undertaker for even a moment when Ziggler's a solid, I don't know, 8 to 10 inches shorter than The Undertaker. You know, it's just like, oh man, just, yeah, I mean, it's something to get him on TV, but I mean, it's kind of like Sami Zayn in a lot of ways, like, well, and kind of a lot like, last night's main Raw, Raw's main event, but I'll get back to the Sami Zayn comparison, at least since it's on SmackDown. It's just like, just because they're on TV, it doesn't help them out. You know, it almost has a negative impact on them being on TV.
Yeah,
because they always end up in a garbage situation. Like, Sami Zayn hasn't done anything different either. Like, I mean, Sami Zayn is just kind of a younger version of Dolph Ziggler at this point, and I don't even know if he's younger.
Yeah, I guess that there's an analogy there of being around. Well, Sammy's only been around a year, year and a half. I don't think that there's. You know what? Actually, take it back. I don't see it. Has he really been? Has he been given anything to really stick his teeth into in a long time? And no. But there's a whole other level of just Dolph Ziggler.
Well,
phoning it in. A level of phoning it in from Dolph Ziggler for. He showed glimpses of what his potential was, you know, back in the day during the Miz feud last year. But when that got kiboshed, He's been back to phoning it in, which he's been phoning it in for most of the last, you know, 2 or 3 years at least. Save that period where they used him as Daniel Bryan's surrogate to face the Miz.
Right. Yeah. It's been a while since he's kind of been something. So yeah, there's that for Zayn, but I guess, you know, well, they both weren't in good segments. Like, it's one of those things where I know Jeremy and I talked a little bit about this. Like, when Bobby Roode came out, you know, they kind of forget about people on SmackDown, and it's really weird. Like, they do such an excellent job a lot of times, and especially with the women, but they end up with their own blind spots, and that's always seems to be one of them in my book. That talent just kind of gets forgotten about.
Yeah, Bob, we haven't seen Bobby Roode in about a month now. Yeah, it wasn't... They had no plan for him. They still really don't, but he at least gets to... He will at least get to have a win over Dolph Ziggler, so which is what pretty much every new guy in SmackDown gets to have. So, I mean, I guess that's fine. But yeah, no. They brought Bobby Roode up with no real direction at all. And that's a shame. And he shouldn't be a babyface either.
Yeah, that's just really awkward. And they've definitely continued, you know, having him face Ziggler. That is really saying that, where the fuck was I going? I hate when I trip up my own damn thought.
Well, no, we've definitely established that Roode is the babyface. Oh. He's supposed to be a babyface. We're supposed to be annoyed by Ziggler. We're supposed to want to see Roode put an end to this crap every week. So yeah, but you know, I've always felt Bobby Roode was a natural heel. The only time him as a babyface worked was as a transition, was either in the tag team with James Storm. But that was always to lead to the breakup and what should have been a money-making angle for TNA. But, of course, they screwed that up royally. But other than that, you know, yeah, Bobby Roode is a natural heel. If people cheer him anyway because of the song, so what? He still should be act like a dick.
Oh, yeah, and he still is. Like, it's always one of those ones that it's just kind of weird. Like, in some ways, I would expect the NXT crowd to enjoy that, you know, treat him less as a heel and treat him more as a babyface and then have it flip-flop on the main roster. But they certainly have... done it in reverse with him. Yeah, so Roode is a little bit of a curious case too on SmackDown, and I guess the other guy that I was thinking about who was not on TV again tonight was Mike Bennett. How they had him come out and they made a big deal of it, and then it's. You know, I don't know, you know, is he going to make anything of himself? I'm not sure. Like, I've always been a little questionable on that.
I think he went to drug rehab, like, 2 weeks later, and now Maria's pregnant.
Oh.
So, yeah, it just, this signing just continues to just be the most baffling thing ever. The signing, the immediate promotion to the main roster, whatever effort, time, and money was put into that entrance theme that has now gone to waste. You know, it's just such a baffling situation that was you know, gotten through. I mean, he's you know, tried to get in for years, couldn't, partially because of her heat, partially because if you look up the word average in the dictionary, there's his picture right there. But yeah, it's the whole thing. It's just a strange situation. I mean, but Maria is guaranteed to remain on contract for at least the next 9 months, at least.
Yeah,
and they're not going to terminate a guy who admitted he had a drug problem and voluntarily went into rehab either. So they're going to continue to make their at least their downside guarantees while barely being on TV. And Maria's not going to be on TV at all because we've seen with Maurice, they don't want pregnant women. Peter did not want pregnant women in any way, shape, or form to be in any sort of danger that they could be held liable for, even though she's very early in her pregnancy. But obviously, there's liability issues. They don't want to even sniff, you know.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of funny. Like how much they shy away from that, which was always one of those things where, I'm thinking about the Hardys trying to bring over the broken Hardys gimmick, and trying to get King Maxwell involved, and how the WWE would be okay with that one.
They'd probably do the vignettes from the Hardy compound, but no, he would not be allowed anywhere near the ring. No.
Yeah.
So King Maxwell's record will forever be 2-0 as an in-ring competitor.
Well,
he
unless
beat the Disco Inferno and he beat Rockstar Spud.
Unless he,
I think he'll retire after that.
Unless he becomes a wrestler himself, we shall see. Lots of road ahead of him in that department. But, yeah, SmackDown just has a lot of those curious cases. Because another one is Baron Corbin, who, again, looks like he's going to get a shot at the U.S. title, an extended thing with AJ Styles, who, you know, is the biggest star on SmackDown, probably.
Well, I guess technically Randy Orton's the biggest star, but yeah, as far as who's pushed heavily, who's been pushed heavily, yeah, it would be AJ, but not since SummerSlam. AJ has been a real, he's been a real, you know, bit player. I mean, I guess that, you know, his issues with Baron Corbin and Ty Dillinger have gotten time and been in, you know, key time slots, but it's just not something. It's beneath him. That's what it is. It's beneath him. It brings him down. You know, Ty Dillinger had a gimmick that got over in NXT. It hasn't gotten over on the main roster. We keep trying with this whole Baron Corbin thing. It's not happening. He doesn't have it. He's another one who should join Dolph Ziggler in the hustling for a buck on the independent route or wherever he would be with his life, because this should be it. AJ Styles in a pay-per-view match, if it's not at least pretty decent, pretty good, he needs to be gone. Because then there's nothing. He has nothing. If AJ Styles can't get him to a good match, he has nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I thought his matches had started to get a bit better, but then it just kind of leveled off. And
yeah,
You know, he hasn't really been able to find another gear in the matches.
No, he hasn't. No, as I said, this is, and maybe WWE used this as his last chance to show them something. I mean, I wouldn't even give him this chance. It's the one match on Hell in a Cell that if I gotta take a piss break or, you know, or go to the concession stands, I will very likely that will very likely be the match I pick. Well, either that or Rube Ziggler, but I'd at least stay through Rude's entrance on that one. But yeah,
you're falling for the gimmick, man. You don't actually like the wrestler.
No, but yeah, I mean, did you notice Baron Corbin he has lyrics now? They didn't before. And they've been doing this a little bit now, for a little while now. Changing people's music. But only starting with the instrumental version and then adding the vocals later. It's weird. I think we really did that with the Usos as well. There might be other examples.
Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't really pay attention. I guess I did feel like Baron Corbin's music was a little bit different this week. So, that is kind of funny that you mentioned that. So, yeah, I guess I hadn't really noticed the other people's, change in music, but, I did kind of pay attention to Corbin's tonight.
Wait, so once again, put that much effort into a guy who's faltering to that degree, and I hope he doesn't win. I guess there'd be an upside to Styles losing the US title and working his way back to the WWE Championship, but I don't want him to lose to Corbin. Come on. Let's just stop with it. Like, I know I'm just going to say the same thing over and over again here, but it is the same thing over and over again. This guy doesn't have it. It's just, you know, look at Braun Strowman, look at and look at Baron Corbin. It's night and day, apples and oranges different.
Yeah.
The guy just has nothing to offer besides his height, and there's plenty of people on both rosters taller than him. So what is the deal?
I do believe that he's kind of close to his last gasp. Because it's also why, because if that match could very well end up being a three-way match. Just because Ty Dillinger has been so prominently involved in the feud.
I was thinking that before, but Baron Corbin made it very specific about you can't beat me in a one-on-one match with AJ Styles. So I see, you know, Dillinger basically just being a plot device for the last few weeks to avoid doing a full-length singles match between Corbin and Styles until Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy that I don't think the gimmick is well, I still don't understand the gimmick, honestly, the whole Perfect 10 thing. Like, I mean, I get it, but I don't get why it became a popular thing still. It's not working, and it's something that kind of needs to change for him to maybe move forward. I mean, he has something of a limited ceiling, in my opinion, so.
Yeah, I don't know if Ted Dillinger's worth the effort to especially at how long he's been doing this and his age and his current skill level. I don't think he's worth repackaging and really pushing from here on out. You know, he's fine to use if you want to use him for jobber fodder. Go ahead. But yeah, he's not worth that much trouble. To be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that if just for his sake he gets some type of other chance, but you know that it probably won't come true.
Right.
So, I guess one thing on the Smack of Downs that I did like was the New Day and the Usos. Continuation of their feud.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I very very as a live attendee, I am very excited for their match inside Hell in a Cell. I think that was played very well, playing off the whole Uso Penitentiary, you know, catchphrase to then say we want it inside Hell in a Cell. There's an incredible GIF going around of Big E's reaction with the popcorn after Xavier finished saying Hell in a Cell. That's awesome. But again,
I have not seen that.
Street tough Usos and the goofy shenanigans of the New has been great. You know, it's been a great you know, mix of characters. Their matches have all been fantastic. I have nothing but great things to say about this. I'm really excited about it. I'm glad the match was put inside the cell. I think it's a good, it's a great way to cap off the feud. Although, if the Usos win again, they gotta. I hope they don't do another match. You know, just for the sake of the this Hell in a Cell having to be the end. Don't do a Charlotte Sasha Banks BS.
No. Yeah.
We gotta have another match after Hell in a Cell, yeah.
the never ending cycle of matches.
Just get it out of the way, the damn out show if you have to.
Well, they SmackDown, not that they probably won't do it starting after Hell in a Cell. I would imagine that Gable and Shelton Benjamin will be the next. Oh, hold on. That'd be if the Usos won it, though. I'm already assuming that the Usos are winning it. Like, I have no idea.
They remember that Shelton Benjamin is and Gable are still a team. Hell, that they remember Shelton Benjamin is back on the roster after the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah. He's his. They could be on a milk carton. Is missing. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for that match, and I do hope that no matter what way it goes, that they just end it. That, you know, it's Hell in a Cell. It's a feud ender.
Yeah,
you know,
it always should be.
So,
I guess the transition. Okay, we've established we have two matches in the cell. If Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke Nakamura is not put in the cell by next week, and it doesn't go on last, does Jinder Mahal retain? Is it more likely that Jinder Mahal retains then?
I would say yes to that that set of circumstances, because who else is? Oh, yeah. That'd be kind of crazy for them to do three matches in the cell, but
no, they've done it and they did it last year. Although once again, by the time they got to the last one, the gimmick definitely ran thin. So I think two is a good number if you got to do more than one. And then, you know, with the New Day and the Usos having a very different style of match than Owens and Shane McMahon, I think that works. So yeah, I mean, I'd love to see, once again, as a live attendee, I'd love to see Nakamura take the title live and in person. But yeah, I don't. It makes me less confident that that's going to happen if the match isn't in the cell and I said it doesn't go on last. Which right now it's definitely not looking like it's going to go on last. I mean, Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens is selling this show, and I can speak from experience as someone who my friends and I actually kind of, you know, waited out and almost got left out of, you know, reasonably priced tickets because after they did the angle with Owens and Vince and especially announced the match, I can say tickets started really picking up, and it's very likely, you know, the only tickets left are the overpriced tickets on the back floor that are $350 to sit 7th or 8th row and have shitty vision, you know, sight line. But those tickets will probably go to, and they'll call it a sellout. So yeah, I guess I went on a side tangent there, but.
Yeah, well, I do agree with you that in general, like, if they're not going to have something that keeps the Singh brothers away from ringside, it's probably not going to be a win for Shinsuke.
No, I mean, I guess for that Starrcade show at the end of November, they are advertising a Jinder Mahal, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura cage match as the main event, as one of the double cage main event. So, as of right now, a house show with a fancy name that's supposed to capture people's right in that nostalgic button. So, but with no thought that it's going to be a net. But there's been no mention of that being a network special, and especially coming the week after Survivor Series, I'm not sure if it will be. So I just don't know where they go. You know, is Survivor Series again going to be mostly elimination tags? Like last year with the interpromotional, you know, gimmick.
Oh.
And maybe like one, you know, big, you know, singles main event or not yet. You know, so let me ask is, who's left after Nakamura on the SmackDown babyface side? If Nakamura, they don't pull the trigger on Nakamura, they have to, because I feel like they eventually have to. But the key is, I guess if Nakamura is not going to get the title at Hell in a Cell, but if they want to keep the feud going into, you know, November, December, I guess maybe I should be expecting a DQ finish with that, so that Nakamura can say he won this time. He already did the JOB at SummerSlam, so it'd be silly if he loses twice by pinfall and still is in title contention. So, but once again, this is all speculation right now.
Right.
Maybe Nakamura will win the title in the middle of the card in a non cell match, or they'll put it in the cell. Just throwing it out there. Like,
yeah,
they're definitely not. And of course, the whole build up for this thing, with the racial ethnic and racial stuff, yeah, they really. I mean, I don't. Maybe they wouldn't have taken that kind of an angle with it if they didn't have the Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, you know, cell match as the real main event. But man, if this show was supposed to be, you know, headlined by Jinder and and Shinsuke with storyline they've been with what's been written for him. Whew. I mean, I'd be thinking about selling my my tickets, unfortunately, or maybe not that far, but it wouldn't be as I certainly wouldn't be as excited about it.
I 100% understand that because it does not look exciting.
No, and
You know,
part of me gets why they feel they needed to go this route. I don't like it, I don't agree with it, but these are two characters that don't belong in the same scene together, basically. They don't mix.
Well, and they very rarely made them mix. Like, I mean, their intentions have been pretty clear about that. With Nakamura not responding at all after the first laughing video, I guess, if you want to call it that. The first still photo fun. And he barely responded after the second one. And, I mean, I am glad that he came out and whooped them there at the tonight, but you know, something was needed, I guess, on his front.
Yeah, no. It was good that he got some come up. Jinder got some come up. It's from Nakamura tonight. It definitely needs to happen. I mean, you know, you can't let someone talk to you like that or talk down on you like that, and you know, in that way and not respond, you know, especially in this world where, you know, someone saying a lot less, you know, earns someone a punch or a kick in the, or a slap to the face.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. His reaction worked well tonight. Is there anything else, I guess, from SmackDown that we need to cover?
I guess just the main event angle, which was it was strong. I mean, they absolutely used Sami Zayn as, you know, words I've used already today at night, fodder plot device. To get to, but he did his job well. the ring apron power bomb is still a very, very brutal looking move. So that, you know, that always works.
Yeah, and Owens busted out just enough. Like, that's one of those ones that it definitely shouldn't be on a lot. But it works every time he does it, because he just does it every now and again.
Yeah. Now, if, you know, everyone else has taken that move and been carted out, essentially, and Shane McMahon takes it and then kicks out, I'm not sure if how up on that one I'm going to be, but it's a different kind of, but it's also a different kind of, you know, grudge match, so maybe they'll be done in a way that's acceptable. We'll see how they work out everything for the match. But man, that closing scene where Owens had the chair over Sami Zayn's neck and then just threw him at Shane McMahon with the leg sticking out. Ooh, that could have ended badly.
Yeah, it could have. I'm glad that it didn't. Yeah, I really like how dastardly Kevin Owens is getting with this whole shtick. It's yeah, Kevin Owens has been a lot of fun in the WWE. You know, it made that part with Sami Zayn somewhat effective and definitely heelish.
it definitely was. I mean, of course, although the live crown was changed, you know, more time for further ringing a powerbomb, but, you know, this day and age, you just don't know what kind of crowd you're going to get. I mean, they were into it, so I'm not going to say it was the worst reaction is no reaction. So, but yeah, they've done everything right with this Kevin Owens Shane McMahon feud, and I'm sure they're going to have, once again, an all-out brawl. You know, I'm fairly certain the New Day and the Usos are going to stay inside the cell, whereas Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon, would not surprise me if they find an excuse for them to make their way outside, and around ringside, and up to the top. And 50-year-old Shane McMahon does release something really stupid that he probably shouldn't, but he'll do it anyway. And I'll be right there. I'll be there. I'll be there with my camera. See it.
Yeah, I mean, that match is going to be what it is, and they've done a really good job with the, the matchup started out of the blue, a little bit, but, has definitely picked up steam, with the, ensuing tale, that they've told in between. So, yeah, it's another one where you're like, yeah, they're doing well. Like that's why it always makes a mystery of all the stuff that's going sideways that we mentioned to start the show.
Yeah, no. Well, the main stuff, for the most part, well, I don't know, necessarily on SmackDown with Jinder Mahal as champion and the never-ending feud with Randy Orton and the Punjabi prison. I'm not going to say the main event stuff on SmackDown has been great. But this has been one of the better, you know, one of the better stories that they've told in a while. As far as you know, something that really started, you know, in the build up to SummerSlam. In many ways, they sacrificed having a bigger, you know, U.S. title match at SummerSlam to create the bridge to this match. But it's all worked out well. I mean, again, definitely looking forward to it. Yeah.
Well, are you looking forward to Enzo Amore continuing to be the champion of the Cruiserweights?
You know what? What else were they going to do? What else were they going to do with the Cruiserweights 205 block? Is there anything else they really could have done? Other than maybe sign, you know, 40-some-year-old Rey Mysterio to anchor the division. It makes sense. I'm saying is 205 Live was going nowhere.
Yeah, I guess that at least leads to the one comment that I made last night is I'm like, well, if there really were more eyes on 205 Live last week because of Enzo, mine weren't two of them.
Yeah, no. I mean, maybe at some point I'll watch this week's episode because of coming up what they did last night. For me to become a regular 205 Live viewer, I need to be hearing some feedback that this show has, you know, remarkably improved to re-add it to my vastly, you know, already, you know, vastly growing wrestling watching schedule of the of my week. But no, I guess I hate saying it, you know, like a cliche, like it's what it is, but it is what it is. They did something to do with Enzo. 205 Live needed a boost. Here we go. Hey, we're here. I don't know if I would have done the heel turn. Oh, no. I wouldn't have turned Enzo heel ever. I mean, his only value is a catchphrase viewing machine.
That's the one thing, though.
Is,
shirts. the crowd was still cheering him despite him being a complete cocksucker.
They were for the most part, yeah.
They have nothing else
to root for. I mean, only Neville is allowed to show, you know, any charisma or, you know, mic skills at all. So I mean,
yeah,
what are people gonna do besides laugh as he's picking apart the entire division one by one on the mic?
Yeah, that's what kind of killed me. Was Enzo being a message sender at all? But I'm like, the first thing I really did think, I was like, you guys haven't given any of these guys really any mic time. Like, I'm not sure if they deserve Enzo Amore level mic time. But I'm sure that they could use more than they're getting right now, which is virtually none. And Neville, when he has been on TV since he's been a champ, I thought he's been really good, at least on the mic.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's gotten pretty good on the mic. And I really love what he did last night, how he played it last night. Looking like he hadn't slept in a day, still wearing his trunks and boots, like he's just been walking around in a funk. He never even changed clothes. I like that a lot.
I did kind of wonder about the look, but I didn't think about him portraying that. But that is hilarious, and it did kind of look spot on to what he was going for. Oh, man. Yeah, Neville's been pretty brilliant. He definitely held his own, like, on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, they could definitely do something with, obviously now they have to, you know, deal with the whole Neville can't get another title shot again, but, you know, once again, they've worked around worse, logical plot holes before, so I'm sure they will. But Neville trying to get his title shot back, I think it'd be a good hook for the division. And Neville's been good. He's just has nothing to work with in terms of the writing and booking for his opponents and their mic skills and TV time and all that kind of stuff. But Enzo, he'll at least get that.
I mean, I guess it'll be interesting. They could really do, mic class with Enzo and just keep on passing him around to different guys for feuds. But, if you had just given them mic time without Enzo, who would they have gotten to the same point? You never know, but hopefully we'll find out.
Right. No. I mean, the presentation of 205 Live has been nothing short of atrocious, and, you know, as ridiculous as the idea is, you know, as bad as Enzo, where this falters and where it would be so much better, obviously, is if Enzo was better in the ring and could back up his talk.
Oh.
the man literally won the title after two moves, and one of them was kicking a guy in the nuts. But the cruiserweights don't really do much that everyone else on the roster doesn't do in their matches as far as dives and whatnot. So, once again, their part on the show wasn't any different than anything else, except that no one cared about the characters and or reacted to any of it. So, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, there were two people in that vignette, Enzo and Neville, and then everyone else. Even though he did single out a couple of people specifically with his promo, though.
Yeah, he definitely did. Again, I mean, I'm sorry, work rate purists, but this is nothing but a positive move for the Cruiserweight division and 205 Live.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll leave that out for submission here to see if it works first. To say it, it's definitely a good thing, but it's a thing, and it can't hurt the product. I know that much.
No, that's the thing. It really won't hurt the overall product by that is 205 Live with the Cruiserweight division. One.
Well, one thing that I did find fully amusing on Raw, and after looking at the WWE site for their Raw roster, I did say to myself, yeah, Dean Ambrose was the only decent guy to feed to Braun Strowman in this situation. They are kind of thin at the top, and definitely thin on credible singles opponents for Braun Strowman to not just squash in 5 seconds.
Right. No. That was all played well. Although, man, have you seen the photos of Kurt Hawkins back after he was ran through that light wall? It's pretty.
No, I have not seen those pictures.
No.
Did
he's pretty marked up.
Did he post it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, awesome.
I'm pretty sure he did, though. Yeah, it's pretty, but no, I mean, I liked it. I like that, you know, he called out anyone for a fight, and just as, of course, the words leave Michael Cole's mouth, who would be crazy enough to face Braun Strowman tonight, you know, then Dean Ambrose music hits, because of course, and, you know, they have a good little competitive match, which, you know, but ending, of course, the as it should, you know, with Strowman winning strong, and then building that towards Seth Rollins and Strowman next week. Interesting that, you know, you've got Ambrose and Rollins kind of doing this feud with involved with Strowman, while let's talk about it. You know, Roman Reigns is, you know, dealing with the Miz and the Miztourage. I just cannot. If you know, we're going to TLC, and we're bringing the Shield back together. The Miztourage are not the right opponent. They're just not. I mean, Miz, yes, Miz can be. But Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, if that's where they're going, then why the fuck did they lose the makeshift team of Matt Hardy and Jason Jordan?
Yeah, that's a very good question. They need to commit to those guys. Because yeah. I honestly think Raw's announcing in this angle made me think of it was just... It was so off the wall this week. I didn't notice it as much on SmackDown. But A, Booker T being on Jason Jordan's case in that match was weird. And then B, poor Corey Graves is like, Bo Dallas is tough. And I'm like, I don't care what he did to you in NXT. He hasn't shown anything close to that on the WWE main roster for 2+ years at this point.
Yeah, no, he hasn't at all. Yeah, it's, as I said, if that's where we're going, they need to get X. Yeah, they need to get Bo and the Axe Man, you know, out of this situation. Which, I mean, the beatdown of Reigns was fine, but once again, Roman Reigns was still, until the chairs got involved, doing just fine against all three of them. And we've already seen Rollins and Ambrose beat the Miz Rise in a 3-on-2 match. So if you put all three of the Shield back together, there's just no... I know the Shield getting back together is a big moment, but you got to give them something better than this. So, again, hopefully maybe, it was Strowman being involved with Rollins and Ambrose and having his long history with Reigns. Maybe he can be in a partner for The Miz. Maybe so when Samoa Joe comes back. Maybe that's the 3-man team. Because then if you still have Axel and Dallas buzzing around on the outside.
Right.
Then it's 5 against 3 with the Monster, Braun Strowman, and Samoa Joe was maybe is the third man throwing out a name who has been, involved with everyone else on the babyface side, and should come back with some sort of an impact. So that would be something good. Don't know what, obviously it's TLC, so it'd be some kind of a stip, but the tables, ladders, chairs are all three. But I think that would be effective. We're obviously in a place where all these shows need a hook. So, no matter what they do, whether it's, whether it's the Shield versus the Miz, or the Shield versus the Miz and two other partners, or, three guys, not including the Miz, or, I think they picked Miz for a reason. But it's still going to feel a little forced as a way to sell one show, as opposed to something that's been truly built up for a good enough amount of time.
Or, like you said, I guess there's still the possibility that they're credible opponents, not being quite the Miztourage. If they do get Strowman and Samoa Joe, or even someone, and I'm not even... Well, Bray Wyatt doesn't really fit the bill as far as working on a team with The Miz goes.
Well, none of them really would. Oh. It'd be a random hodgepodge of guys. Which I'm fine with. I mean, I'll look forward to it. I'll enjoy watching the Shield do their thing again. So I guess I'll get sucked in too. But there's definitely an argument that if they really, really had a strong heel trio that had been running roughshod for months until the Shield got back together to take them on, that scenario would be so much better.
I agree. The one thing that I was looking through my review here could be better, kind of interesting, but still floundering. Finn Balor, he has become Raw's curious case for sure.
Oh, you mean the extraordinary man, Finn Balor?
Yeah, it was not lost on me that not that long ago they were excited about the Demon Balor coming out, and now we're talking about the Man Balor instead. So I don't know what the WWE
man.
Extraordinary Man.
Oh God! Oh all of those writers need to be fired. It's time to put Vince in a home if they really go forward with this.
Well, they definitely need someone to feud with Brock Lesnar. In between, Balor was mentioned by Paul Heyman personally.
Yeah, I can see them going there by, you know, by Rumble time, or if Brock is going to work Survivor Series, which they've given no indication really either way about that. But until then, Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor must continue.
Yeah.
Into some sort of are they gonna job Bray Wyatt 3 times? If we're getting Finn Balor ready for a universe title match, you know, that's where they're going. But Bray loses a lot. We're losing to the same guy 3 times on pay per view. That seems like overkill.
it would be a little much.
It would be much, and then do they have a fourth match? Their match on Sunday was perfectly fine, maybe even good, but it's just not something. The matches are okay, but all the hocus pocus crap and all the other things they have to do the weeks leading up to a big Bray Wyatt match are really what I don't look forward to.
Yeah, that was a match that I did not actually see. On Sunday, I came in right at the very end of that match, and when I saw that he won, I was just like, "Ooh, so this thing's over, right?" You know, I figured Bray Wyatt would get a win, and the feud would keep on going because of that. You know, because he beat the extraordinary gentleman. But that was not the case. So it kind of puts this feud in a really odd position.
We're just trying to, you know, get through. To Survivor Series, we got this show. So let's not put Finn Balor. Once again, it appears that 6, maybe up to 6 top level guys could be in the main event. So it's one of those situations where what do you do with? What do you do with Finn Balor? I guess just continue the Bray Wyatt thing and give them tables or chairs and let them have a gimmick deal. And hey, whatever. It's the cards they're dealing.
Yeah.
I was about to say it's the cards they've been dealt, but no. they've dealt these cards and. They even knew what the cards were. Actually, that analogy doesn't work at all.
Alright. Yeah, they're not rolling out good material, even though they know what material they're working with.
Yeah, no. That's the thing with this whole Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt. Matches are fine, but all the story build-up in between is definitely lacking. And it's been lacking in Bray Wyatt storylines for quite a while now.
Yeah.
Actually, we've been talking about Bray Wyatt storylines just being the writing for Bray Wyatt just being lazy and stale for pretty much the whole time. I've been doing this.
Yeah. Well, and he lost the family a long time ago. And they haven't really hinted at putting it back together. I'm not sure that it would be effective then, just because it's been shut down so many times. He'd almost need a couple of fresh faces to join him.
I think that him doing another family with some newer guys that might help. Actually, that's probably exactly what I would do. Because what's a cult leader without a cult?
Yeah, it really does not work without a cult, even if that cult is only two people.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can definitely. Yeah, that's probably the next thing I would do. We do with Bray Wyatt, Werelu's coming out of, maybe that's what it is. Maybe Bray Wyatt loses again to Finn Balor, and that's where he goes back to the swamp, goes back to the rubbles of Sister Abigail's home, and finds his new purpose, his new followers. That's what I would do. There we go. Well, we figured this out.
Well, what else is there on Raw? Is there anything else on Raw to talk about? We've kind of covered the main event, the people coming off the main event. We have skipped most talk of the ladies in general on both shows.
Yeah, we can. We can talk about again. They're going forward with Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, which fine with. I think both ladies did well on the mic. Mickie James probably showed a little more on the mic than she has, since her comeback, and got some really good lines in. I'm just glad. I'll just be glad to see Alexa Bliss in a focused storyline with one person for once. Because even when she was face fighting Bayley, even when she was fighting Sasha, the other was floating around, or Nia Jax was sticking her nose in. Just a focused, one-on-one feud for Alexa Bliss would be refreshing.
Yeah, it would be, and
Even if it's against the previously forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're Mickie James, you go, well, at least I'm collecting a paycheck. But she really hasn't really done anything, even though, I guess it seems like a majority of them could use to be in a ring with someone like her.
Yeah, no, I mean, the knock on Alexa Bliss is probably that, maybe she wasn't ready ring wise for the push she's gotten. But working with Mickie James on house shows and on a pay-per-view, I think that's that'll be good for her to do. Wonder if they'll give them what are the gimmick, what out of the box of gimmicks they'll give them. Tables match, chairs match, a ladder match. Probably not the TLC, because I assume that's going to be, the TLC match is being saved, or maybe some capacity is going to be saved for the main event.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's definitely better than continuously teasing issues between Sasha and Bayley, and then never pulling a trigger on either of them pulling heel for the last year.
I thought, oh, they're finally going with this, and then I'm like, oh, they're friends again. I'm like, well, maybe something will happen during the match. And I'm like, huh, nothing happened during the match. This is weird. Why even bring this up?
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, obviously the other girls need to have something to do on the periphery while Alexa Bliss and Mickie James get the spotlight. You know, just you know, I guess it was just a match, and they're gonna keep, you know, something alive between Sasha and Bayley. Although it's almost with how they book the women, at least definitely on the Raw side, Raw women have not been known to have multiple stories going on at the same time as became a calling card of SmackDown.
Right, agreed.
But who knows? Maybe we'll get, you know, something with Sasha and Bayley as a feud without the title. But again, it's they've been teasing it for so long. I'll believe it when I see it.
I completely concur. Well, I think it's time to bring the show to a wrap. Then, with the women's talk, tonight's fine Beltane beer, Magnon, India Pale Ale from Actual Brewing Company. It's quite tasty. 7.3% alcohol, 58 IBUs, and it is a very, very tasty India Pale Ale that is not very bitter. So that is right up my alley. And yeah, Beltane Beer of the Week for me. So that's at DeFrango11. On the other end is at Chris Calamina. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to get this show. Have a good night.
Later.